thanks for the opportunity to get the word out. I've been in this job for 4 months. Been trying to get to places where we can have the most effect and try to get out a clear message of U.S. strategy, U.S. intent, you know, where we're going, and get it to people who can make a difference and do something with it. And so, again, this is the ideal location for that. Thank you for allowing me to join today. In my Toastmaster classes, you try to begin any presentation like this with an attention step, and usually it's humor, but it can also be something that's shocking, eye-watering, whatever. But in this case, I bring good news, both for Malaysia and for the U.S., and we'll treat it in the form of a this just in breaking news. Overnight, the U.S. Department of Justice announced a settlement of its civil forfeiture cases against nearly 3 billion ringgit of the assets acquired by low-tech Joe, otherwise known as Jolo. Together with his family, he allegedly misappropriated funds from 1MDB and laundered these assets through financial institutions in several jurisdictions, including the United States, Switzerland, Singapore, and Luxembourg. Recovered assets were located in the United Kingdom, U.S., and Switzerland. So that's nearly 4 billion ringgit of money that has been returned to the rightful owners, the Malaysian people. And the U.S. is very happy to have been a part of that. So with that, let me get into the formal remarks, which I know this august group will appreciate, and then again, I'm open for questions and answers. Again, my point here is to take what sometimes is unintelligible, anodyne U.S. policy and put it in terms that you all can understand, and then you can help us, you know, explain the good and the bad. I'm not asking you to buy in, I'm just asking you to hear clearly what we're trying to do. This is my fourth trip to Malaysia. The first two were in uniform at Langkawi Air Show, 95 and 97, where I got to fly demonstrations for very appreciative crowds. And then I was here a couple years ago doing an interaction with North Korea with another group. That was interesting as well. But today I want to discuss and hear your views on this vision that I mentioned. Speak a little bit about our vision at the regional level. Start off with, again, Southeast Asia at the national level, and then at the bilateral U.S.-Malaysia relations. So our vision for the region, what is it we're trying to do here? Since the start, the Trump administration has recognized the Indo-Pacific region's central global importance, central role in American foreign policy. Since World War II, the Indo-Pacific region, which stretches from west coast United States to the west coast of India, has undergone a significant and remarkable transformation. The hundreds of millions of people have undergone or have climbed out of, worked their way out of poverty. Colonialism and dictatorships have given way to democracies. The region has become home to world-class companies and truly the engine of global economic growth. This transformation, certainly on the due to the hard work and ingenuity of the folks in the region, and then significant contributions from the U.S. in engagement. U.S. today is the largest source of foreign direct investment in the Indo-Pacific region. That gets lost constantly. I had to raise that point again last night with a group we were talking to. Single largest source of foreign investment in the region. Doesn't matter what you hear from other places. Open map of the Indo-Pacific, and it is dotted with U.S. public and private efforts to foster self-reliance, to build institutions, to promote private sector growth. In Malaysia, General Electric first invested in a sales and service center back in 1975. Today, General Electric has over 1,300 employees in this country, from Kuala Lumpur to Sarawak, and stories like this are repeated all across the region in a diverse tapestry of partnership and mutual benefit that we Americans are proud of. The United States also has a proud history of winning and sustaining peace in the region, including through the crucible of World War II. You may recognize the name Stillwell in that connection. We can talk about that later too if you want. We have five strong and long-standing bilateral security alliances here in the Indo-Pacific. In human terms, tens of millions of Americans trace their roots to the Indo-Pacific region, and our people-to-people engagement today spans rich academic, cultural, and business exchanges. More than two-thirds of foreign university students in the U.S. come from the Indo-Pacific. informed by this history, we know that the American people and the whole world have a stake in this region's peace, stability, and prosperity. It is why the Indo-Pacific must be free and open. At the regional level, the U.S. vision for a free and open Indo-Pacific is positive, inclusive, and it's diverse. A free and open region is characterized by cooperation and respect for rules. It's not characterized by hegemony or might makes right. A free and open region practices respect for the sovereignty and independence of all nations, regardless of their size. And a free and open region enjoys international commons that remain genuinely common in support of common stability and common prosperity. Our vision for a free and open region respects ASEAN and ASEAN's centrality. ASEAN is at the literal geographic center of the Indo-Pacific, and ASEAN is central to the regional architecture, as we will reaffirm again in a few days at the East Asia Summit in Bangkok. A free and open region is also one of genuine regional connectivity, the connectivity of railways, ports, and telecom networks built on real principles of trust, transparency, and sustainability. Likewise, a free and open region always enjoys fair and reciprocal trade, open investment environments, and transparent agreements between nations. Again, transparency is a key part. This regional vision excludes no nation. We seek to work with anyone who to promote a free and open Indo-Pacific, and we seek cooperation that adheres to the highest standards that our citizens demand. Crucially, this regional vision is built on common, enduring principles that have benefited all countries in the region. These aren't just U.S. values. Earlier this year, ASEAN adopted the outlook to the Indo-Pacific, affirming many of these same values as essential for peace and prosperity. So do the regional visions of Japan, South Korea, Australia, India, Taiwan, and others. It's really impressive to see how these visions all share common principles. Our vision for regional nations, the implications here at the national level are important. We have to ask, how does the vision of a free and open Indo-Pacific translate for individual countries in the region, such as Malaysia? So to put it simply, we want Malaysia and all nations to be strong and prosperous. They make great trading partners, it makes for stable relations, it makes for stability in the region. We want Malaysia and all nations to be sovereign and independent. We want Malaysia and all nations to enjoy choice and a voice, to have a say in their future. We want Malaysia and all nations to enjoy transparent, non-corrupt governance. And we want Malaysia and all nations to be capable and resilient. These aims are what have shaped U.S. engagement with the Indo-Pacific nations for generations, and it still shapes that engagement today. Independence is in the American DNA. We hear that a lot in our Declaration of Independence. Like almost all nations in this region, our country was born in anti-colonial revolution. One of our founding fathers, John Adams, offered, quote, independence forever as his dying toast. We wish the same for Malaysia and all nations in the region. And so we want all nations to be able to protect their sovereignty from coercion by others. We want all nations to enjoy open access to the seas and airways and also to vital natural resources. We want all nations to enjoy the peaceful resolution of territorial and maritime disputes. These are the keys to international peace and to each country's attainment of its own national aims. I'd like to make special note here to the central role of governance in our vision of the free and open Indo-Pacific. We don't often talk about governance. We talk about stability, we talk about economic prosperity, but I think governance is increasingly a key part. At the national level, free certainly means good governance and the assurance that citizens can enjoy their fundamental rights and liberties. One such fundamental right is the freedom of religion. This administration has underscored this with its commitment to international religious freedom. And I'm reminded of it whenever I travel to nations like this one that so clearly and publicly reflect devotion to its religion. Nations that respect religious freedom and respect their people's rights to free expression of religion tend also to respect their neighbors and the international rules that we all cherish. Nations that suppress religious freedom and repress their people's right to free expression of religion tend also to disrespect their neighbors' interests and challenge the free and open international norms that we all cherish. as for bilateral relations. To advance the vision of free and open Indo-Pacific, this administration is pursuing a wide range of efforts. Our approach has several main pillars. I talked about economic prosperity, that's obvious, security and military background, I'm very familiar with that, good governance, and then human capital. That's sort of a new addition, focusing on the human aspect of this. With respect to economic prosperity, we promote open markets, high standards, transparency, I say that again, and free, fair, and reciprocal trade. There is $1.9 trillion in two-way trade between the U.S. and the Indo-Pacific. U.S. government agencies, businesses, and institutions are spurring private sector investment and gainful employment in infrastructure, energy, and the digital economy. The United States is the largest source of foreign direct investment in the Indo-Pacific, and our economic initiatives help countries in the region attract more of this private sector investment as the path to sustainable development. For example, talk is cheap. Here's things that we're doing. Asia Edge, economic development, or energy development, is a regional energy initiative. Energy is, of course, the lifeblood of a modern economy. And we are drawing upon our world-leading private firms' sophisticated development financial tools and peerless technical expertise to grow sustainable and secure energy markets throughout the Indo-Pacific. To support the development of infrastructure done right, the Trump administration has enhanced U.S. development finance and assistance tools, including project preparation services and commercial advocacy. The Build Act, infrastructure focused, passed by Congress and signed by President Trump last year, more than doubled the development finance capacity of the U.S. government to $60 billion. We have also established a range of new development finance partnerships with Japan, Australia, and other nations to strengthen high standard infrastructure investment in this region. On the digital front, we promote an open, interoperable, secure, and reliable internet. We urge all countries to take a risk-based approach to evaluate technology vendors. Last year, Vice President Pence announced the launch of a U.S.-ASEAN Smart Cities Partnership to advance trade and high standards in information and communications technology. And just this month, we hosted the first U.S.-ASEAN Cyber Policy Dialogue in Singapore. The purpose of these efforts is to multiply the sort of genuine win-win economic engagement that is demonstrated by U.S. investment here in Malaysia. You can't name any key economic sector where American firms are not a positive presence here. Energy, financial services, healthcare, high-tech manufacturing, research and development centers, artificial intelligence and cloud computing, ASEAN hubs. American firms in Malaysia are excellent business partners, highly regarded employers, and unmatched community outreach. U.S. firms are the largest employers in several states here. Intel is the largest employer in Penang. ON Semiconductor is the largest employer in Negeri Sembilan. And then Finisher is the largest employer in Perak. This is all part of the broader mutual benefits of a U.S. trade and investment in the Indo-Pacific, and it supports more than 3 million jobs in the U.S., and even more, that's 5.1 million jobs here in the Indo-Pacific. U.S. firms are expanding in Malaysia. Since Malaysia's new government came in last year, Coca-Cola, ON Semiconductor, AmMetLife, General Electric, and JP Morgan have all proceeded with long-term plans. Many of them are here not just to serve the Malaysian market, but also to use Malaysia as their hub for the rest of ASEAN. The U.S. regained its position at the top of FDI source for Malaysia for the first part of 2019. Projects that the U.S. companies have implemented, not just promised, are valued at some $22 billion. As Secretary Pompeo said, where America goes, we seek partnership, not domination. The U.S. government doesn't tell American companies what to do. We help build environments that foster good, productive capitalism. We help American firms succeed so that local communities can flourish and bilateral partnerships can grow. We support economic development that honors local autonomy, and national sovereignty. As for governance, the governance pillar of the Indo-Pacific strategy further helps countries preserve their autonomy and adhere to international law, rules, and standards. Our work strengthens civil society and democratic institutions in the region, it counters corruption, and it helps countries attract high-quality financing necessary to fuel their economic development while securing their sovereignty. We are already implementing well over 200 governance programs under our Whole of Government Indo-Pacific Transparency Initiative, and we are identifying new areas of cooperation with like-minded partner countries. We admire Malaysia's exercise of its democratic processes in its historic election this year, or last year, and we have supported the new administration's focus on improving good governance, respect for human rights, and rule of law. We want to help strengthen Malaysia's place as a leader in the region in these areas. Our USAID Office of Transition Initiatives is actively helping by providing millions of dollars worth of grants to support Malaysian efforts to improve government transparency and accountability. On the security front, the U.S. Aim is to build a flexible, resilient network of like-minded security partners to promote regional stability and address shared challenges in the region. Our vision of the Indo-Pacific of Southeast Asia is that of a rules-based, multipolar region built upon ASEAN centrality. We have a collective responsibility when it comes to expressing support for the principles we want to see upheld: respect for international law, including the freedoms of navigation and overflight, and other internationally lawful uses of the seas, good governance and transparency, and respect for views and autonomy of all states. The United States has a simple position on the South China Sea. The rights of all nations must be respected, regardless of their size, power, or military capabilities. Respect for international law, freedoms of navigation and overflight, and other internationally lawful uses of the sea, and peaceful management of resolution of disputes in accordance with international law are all vital to global security. They are critical to American and Malaysian security and prosperity. This is why Secretary Pompeo committed nearly $300 million in security assistance to improve maritime domain awareness in order to protect critical sea lanes. We also launched a new program recently to counter transnational crime in the Mekong, and in September we conducted the first ever U.S.-ASEAN maritime security exercise off the coast of Thailand. Another significant component of the Indo-Pacific vision is to expand people-to-people ties and human capital development. The U.S. government works alongside the private sector to improve the lives and well-being of people across the Indo-Pacific. Programs focused on science and technology exchange, entrepreneurship, education, technical training, and health are rooted in deep international trust and personal relationships. Our flagship youth leadership program, the Young Southeast Asia Leaders Initiative, otherwise known as YSEALI, has built a network of over 142,000 young people committed to connecting with our own up-and-coming U.S. leaders. YSEALI engages the future of the region, where 65% of the population is under 35 years old. The program is uniquely positioned to build bridges between ASEAN and the U.S., especially as this younger generation is much different from any generation. I would also like to point out that we are very proud of two YSEALI alumni currently serving in Malaysia's cabinet. In Malaysia, we are especially proud of our Fulbright English Training Assistance Program, one of the largest we have in the world. Just yesterday, 100 ETAs, that's English Language Training Assistants, 100 ETAs, all recent college graduates from around the United States, came to KL to celebrate the culmination of their past 10 months of teaching English in schools all across Malaysia. The ETA program in Malaysia operates in close coordination with the Malaysian government and has even attracted the attention of the King and Queen, who attended our showcase in Penang earlier this month, together with our ambassador. The ETA program also received support from the U.S. business community in Malaysia. The ETA program stands as a true example of the power and the strong people-to-people ties of the United States-Malaysia relation or partnership. So in closing, I'd like to close by noting again what drives the U.S. vision for the Indo-Pacific in the 21st century. It's an American vision of enduring engagement in the region's strength, stability, and prosperity. Like so many of our allies, our Asian allies and friends, our country fought for its own independence from an empire that expected deference. We thus have never and never will ask domination or seek domination in this region, and that we will oppose any country that does. Rather, we aspire to a regional order of independent nations that can defend their people and they can compete fairly in the international marketplace. We stand ready to enhance the security of our partners and to assist them in developing their economies and societies in ways that ensure human dignity. We will help them. And we will not shy away from exposing and contesting actions that undermine the free and open international order that has fostered unprecedented peace and prosperity in the Indo-Pacific and globally for decades. We are encouraged by our allies and partners in the region, like Malaysia, who share our commitment to the values of openness, transparency, and respect for sovereignty and international law, as well as shared prosperity. And with that, I will conclude. Thank you for your kind attention and be happy to take your questions.